Good morning. Can you hear me? Is it working? I'm impressed as anybody here at 8:30 on a Friday morning. I was not expecting anybody. I'm going to start in... I guess we'll start now. So my name's Andrew Klinik. I'm a group program manager on the Windows Phone team on the developer platform. I'm here today to talk to you about application model, which is essentially everything that gets your application running, including multitasking, how your app installs. This is the second time this week we've done this, which is great, so I'm glad you could come. What that probably means, though, is that every demo will crash today because they've worked once this week, so the chance of them working twice this week is pretty slim. So what I'm covering today is running your application, multitasking, phone integration, and then finally some of the new enterprise work that we've been doing. It's a significant release. As you've seen already during the week, we've moved over to the Windows 8 platform, which is great, which brings a whole bunch of advantages to it in terms of performance and what your applications can do. So the number one thing, why my team is here is to run your code. So the execution model is what's our most important thing to do on the execution model. And there's only really one thing we need to do on the execution model is don't break it. There's 120,000 apps out there, which I'm sure that some of you have written some of those applications. We've got to ensure that those applications continue to run. Even though we've moved from Windows CE to Windows 8, we have to be able to ensure that everything continues to run. And we spend a lot of time making sure that the applications will, your existing applications will continue to run, so you can feel confident about going to buy a Windows. Well, you already have a 920 now. You guys are actually luckier than most, so that your applications will continue to run. But once we got it running, the number one thing that we get feedback from, and when we're writing applications, is performance. Is that the startup performance is your chance to lose your users. If your applications are taking too long to start, then they're going to lose interest, or they're going to go use another application that runs quicker. So no matter how great your application is, if it doesn't start quick, then you're going to lose users' interest. So we invested heavily in startup time in Windows Phone 8. So for example, the Facebook app was reduced from about 12 seconds on Windows Phone 7.5 to under 4 seconds, just by taking the existing Facebook app and just running it. So the key thing for you to take away here is your applications, even though you haven't changed anything, will run faster on Windows Phone 8. Now, why does it run faster? Well, we've been working hard to make our execution environment work more efficiently. One of the great things about having applications in the marketplace is that we've got all your applications. We can actually run them and test them against our execution environment. So we can optimize for common coding practices that you're doing. We can see the impacts of our execution environment improvements immediately. So we've been fine-tuning that over the last year. We have something called Compile in the Cloud. I'll go into this in a little while. But Compile in the Cloud really enables us to optimize down to, so you're not jitting your code per se. We're actually compiling the code down to real binary code and running that directly on device, so it's optimized before it even runs there. The other thing we have is Core CLR. One of the great things about moving to the Windows 8 platform is that we now have exactly the same CLR environment that's available on Windows. And there's significant improvements on that compared to .NET Compact Framework. And it's not surprising, .NET Compact Framework was optimized for size when we started out in .NET Compact Framework. Now, if you look at your 920, it's a gigabyte phone, right? There's quite a bit more memory. There's significant more processor power. And, frankly, having a dual-core 1 gigahertz over 1 gigahertz phone helps quite a bit in terms of performance as well. So what about Compile in the Cloud? What does that mean for you? So the move to the Core CLR brings along NGEN, native image generation. So what that does is allows you to take your existing IL, so you just ingest your application as you would do normally, and we will compile that down to the actual native code specific for the phone. Now, the great thing about this is that clearly when your application is running, it's going to be running a lot faster. We don't have to do all the IL translation that we've had to do in the past. Now, running NGen on the PC actually runs on the PC. So when you first run your application, it does NGen, and that's great. On the PC, you know, you've got, you know, multi-core x86, a whole bunch of memory. Clearly, we don't have that on the phone. So what we wanted to ensure was that we could get NGen's benefits without having to NGen on device. Now, you can NGen on device, but what that would mean is the first time the user ran your application after they installed it, it would have to run NGen. And that's going to mean that your first time startup, probably the most important time your application is ever going to start up, would be the slowest it would be, because we'd be going off and NGenning. So we wanted to ensure that we could get the benefits without you incurring the costs when you download the application. So you submit your Zap just as you do today, and even if you're submitting a 7.x, a 7.5 application into our marketplace, you submit the Zap. We then, at the ingestion time, will go away, split out that Zap, and NGen all the IL into native code, and then rebuild the Zap. And what we do is we create two copies. We create an 8.0 version with the native code in it, and we keep the 7.5 version. So that your users get the right version. You don't have to worry about, is like, well, do I have to manage multiple things? You just ingest one Zap, and we deliver the 7.5 version with IL to older Windows Phone 7.5s, and 8.0 gets the native code. So the great thing here is you get a performance boost just by you know, your users using Windows Phone 8. But performance is as much an art as it is a science, in terms of, you know, you can do it. We can do as much as we possibly can in terms of working on performance, and I'm sure you spend a lot of time trying to eke the best performance out of your application. But the users care about perceived performance, not benchmarks. Is that, you know, there are key performance indicators really in terms of if you think about what a user is going to do. So if you're running an application that you expect users to use a lot, for example, you might be WhatsApp or a messaging application. If your user's going into that app a lot every day, then even if you get below 4 seconds, that still feels like a long time every single time they're going into your application. And, you know, the feedback we've been getting is like, I hate that resuming or that loading screen. I don't want to have to see that. And if you're doing four seconds every launch and you launch your application 20 or 30 times a day, then that's a significant impact to users' perception of performance, both of your application and of Windows Phone. And perception is impacted the context switching. As we see that people are starting to use more and more applications, they're switching from email to your app to messaging. It really starts to they feel that it's slowing them down. And certainly, you know, if you look at some of the reviews of Windows Phone in the past, it's like, well, yeah, it's pretty fast once it's going, but it takes a while to get going. So in Windows Phone 7.5, we introduced fast application switching, which enables you to resume very, very quickly if you use the task switcher. So you can use the task switcher, and you can switch back between applications. And if it's on the back stack, i.e. in the task switcher, then we'll resume it, which means it will resume very, very quickly. Now, the problem with that is that, you know, if you know about the task switcher, then that's great. And if you choose to use it, then that's great. You get that benefit. But the task switcher really is kind of a power user type scenario. Is that you guys probably know about it, but the average user is not necessarily going to think, oh, I'm going to hold down the back button to bring up a task switcher. They're just going to go launch the application or hit back. And if they do that, then they don't get any of the benefits. So at the moment with fast application switching, only really kind of power users get the benefits. So in Windows Phone 8, we're introducing something we're calling Fast App Resume. And what this means is all the great work that a lot of you did with fast application switching, and most applications in the marketplace today support fast application switching, we're going to allow applications to always resume no matter where they're launched, be that from the start screen, from a pinned tile, from the app list, from a toast, from a notification, a deep link into your application. So every time the user launches your application, if you're in the back stack, i.e. in the suspended state, we will resume that. So this means that from a user perspective, the application just launches and it's just much more responsive. And they're now getting, you know, from tapping that icon to the application is less than a second. It's essentially instant. So the perception of that is significant. So this is going to be a huge boom, we think, in terms of being able to make the device feel much, much faster. So when I give you a look at what that means. Okay, so Here I have over here, this is one of our engineering devices telling me I have a repeat session. So that's, and this is my Nokia 920. Okay, so essentially, so I have the same software on here, the obviously 7.5 over here and Windows 8, Windows Phone 8 over here. So I'm going to launch the Facebook application on both. Now, the Facebook application, this is the Facebook application that's in marketplace today. So in your 920s, you should go try that. You probably have this Facebook application already. I'm going to start it on the 7.5, and they're both connected via Wi-Fi. And I know that 7.5 is going to take a little longer, and I'll tap on it on my 920. So you notice already that the 920 is loaded considerably faster. You know, I'm ready to go, and it's downloaded all my feeds very, very quickly. So there's a significant performance improvement in that. And this is on initial launch. Now, if I go back to the home screen on both of these, now what I'm going to do here is I'm going to tap on the Facebook app again on my 7.5 app. When I click on it in my 920, you notice on my 920, because the Facebook application supports fast application resume, it comes back instantly. And the other thing here is it enables you for some interesting user experiences as well. It's like, does your user expect to go back into the place they were when you start your application? Or do you want to kind of navigate them back to the home screen? So this provides your applications with a significant performance increase with essentially almost doing nothing. If you've done fast application switching today, moving to this fast application resume is not even a couple of lines of code. And I'll show you some of that in just 1 second. So enabling fast application resume in your application. Oops, I'm in the wrong. I'm on the. If I go to my PC, I hope this is going to come up. So my PC went to sleep. That's not what it's supposed to do. I hope it's plugged in. It is plugged in. Okay. So, here I have, this is Visual Studio 2012, and I have my application manifest open. Now, the great thing about our tools in 2012, we actually have a graphical, a GUI kind of interface on this, but I wanted to show you the exact XML so you can see what's going on. So, in terms of tasks, I have my default tasks, so every application has this already today, and I can just say activation policy equals resume. And just by doing that, what happens is when my application launches, the Windows Phone will take a look at your manifest and go, okay, so what's the policy that I want to be able to place on this? So in this case, you notice I could do resume. The default is replace. Now, the reason why the replace means essentially work the same way as I do on Windows Phone 7.5 in terms of start a fresh instance every time. And the reason we didn't make it the default is resume, is we want to ensure your application continue to run the way that you wanted it to run, so that you get to opt in whether you want this fast behavior. Now, obviously, we think that a lot of you want to go do this, but it provides you with the control as to how your application runs. What we didn't want to do is start running applications with a different runtime experience, and suddenly you might have application compatibility issues, your app might not work the way you want it to do. So we wanted to provide the control for you. So literally all you have to do is set activation policy equals resume, and your application will magically get faster for users. So this is probably the biggest performance win you can do without really doing any code. So fast application resume is something we really, you know, if you remember one thing from this session, is do fast application resume in every single Windows Phone app. So there is a session that was yesterday, because I'm using my slides from Tuesday, that goes into quite a bit of detail on this. That session is actually available online if you didn't go to that session. And you can get more details on exactly what you can do. And some of the user experience things you might want to think about in building your application, thinking about fast application resume. So the interesting thing when you think about multitasking on a phone is that the average user if an application returns in less than a second, they just kind of assume that it's running. So again, multitasking is a perception versus reality thing. If the user can't really determine that anything's happening in the background, then they just kind of assume that the application is running. So, you know, fast application resume helps with multitasking in terms of the user's perception of that, in terms of they can quickly switch between your applications. But obviously you want to be able to do true multitasking, and what we've done in Windows Phone 8 is extended that a little bit so that we can provide some new scenarios. The biggest new scenario is background location tracking apps. So I'm sure that, hopefully your 920s have Nokia Drive on there, but if you've used Nokia Drive or navigation applications in the past on Windows Phone, is they were great unless you went to go do something else, because as soon as you went to go do something else, it stopped running. Now that's great, it's great for battery life, and it really, you know, it makes for your phone to last a long time. Not particularly great if you want to get somewhere. We've enabled applications to mark themselves as background location tracking applications. So, for example, Nokia Drive or some of the Run Tracker type applications, you can mark yourself as a location tracking app. If you're actively tracking location, we will allow that application to continue running in the background. Now, we only allow one of those to be running in the background at one time. You can have as many applications on your device that support this, but only one can be running at a time, because frankly, you know, we've got to ensure that the memory and resources are being effectively managed. And with the rush to try and get cheaper and cheaper phones, if you're running on a 512 megabyte device, then, you know, even if you're not going to be able to run more than one of these applications in the background anyway because of memory pressure. So to enable this, in much in the same way as you do for fast application resume, in your default task, you add a new background execution element, and you just mark it as location tracking. And then that will mark your application such the OS will provide new runtime policy to you so that it will continue running in the background. Now, the best way to talk about this is to see it. So now, the challenge here, of course, is that how do I show background location tracking when I'm stood on the stage right in front of you? So one of our programs, so I'm going to run it in the emulator. This is a new emulator for Windows Phone 8, which is based on Hyper-V. But here I have an application written by one of the PMs in the Maps team in Windows Phone, and it's called Byte Tracker. Now, what Byte Tracker lets you do is, you know, it shows it basically. You press play, and it records where you've been. So here's your dashboard, your speed, and it kind of shows you where you are using the new cool Nokia Maps control. And one of the great things about the location, about the emulator, is that I can load up location. And I'm just going to delete this. And I have one that I prepared earlier called armstrong.xml. And I was thinking, well, what am I going to do with Byte Tracker? I figured, well, what would Lance do? Lance is, you know, an interesting guy right now. So let's take a look at, see if there's any evidence of what if Lance was telling the truth or not. So, this, if you notice here, I can see where. We're kind of starting well in building 92. Imagine this was on Tuesday in a different spot, and I click on play here, and then play on here, and we're going to start moving around. And, well, because I'm Lance Armstrong, you know, I've done 99 miles an hour.
Distance, 3.0 miles. Time, 0 minutes, 17 seconds.
So, you know, that was pretty quick. We did pretty well there. So, but the great thing here is I can go in the background. And
distance.
You know, it's still running. I can pin it to the start screen, and it's updating the tile as well. And I can just tap on this. So Lance is doing pretty well here. So, but you know, the great
0 miles time, 0 minutes, 41 seconds.
Hopefully, she'll shut up in a second. I hope.
265.4 miles per hour.
He's quite the man. I'm sure that's perfectly natural to do 265 miles an hour, right? So. But you know, the great thing here is this really enables a whole new set of scenarios. about what you can do with your application. And you know, obviously there's kind of location tracking applications like Bike Tracker or Nokia Drive. But, you know, there's a whole slew of applications coming out with being able to track your location and allowing users to run that and keep that running in the background enables you to use your phone in a whole new set of ways. Again, this was in session 2017, which is available online. It goes into quite a bit more detail about exactly how to enable this and the features that you should think about when you're building your application. Now, the key difference here about background location tracking and our multitasking that we introduced in 7.5 is in 7.5 we introduced the notion of an agent. So that for example, background audio, you split your application up into multiple processes. And that's good. It enables us to provide guarantees because you want that audio to be running as long as you possibly can. But it does make it more complex to write your application. Now, what we've done in background location tracking is say, okay, look, we're just going to keep running your application. You don't have to split it up, and so it will continue running in the background. So it makes it a lot easier for you to develop. Now, the downside to that is we don't provide any guarantees. We will continue running that application as long as we possibly can. But if you start going to play Angry Birds or browse the New York Times, then you're going to put memory pressure on the device, at which point we will suspend your application. Now, you get 10 seconds on suspend to do something useful, and that useful, you might throw a toast, you might use a speech API like Bike Tracker was to say, hey, you know, do you really want to unload me? And then allow the user to bring it back to the foreground and make sure, allow the user to be under control. Because they're not necessarily going to realize that browsing or playing Angry Birds is going to put memory pressure on the phone. Now, as you saw, well, it didn't really show the maps particularly well. We have in Bike Tracker, we have a new maps control, which we're working very closely with Nokia on. So we still support the Bing Maps control from 7.1. It's still there, so all the applications will continue to work. But we're deprecating that and really encouraging you to move to the new Maps control, which uses technology supplied by Nokia. Now, the great thing about the new Maps control is it's vector-based. So you get considerably, you know, it's much richer, it's much faster. You get more map controls. But probably the biggest feature of it is it's offline. So that, you know, if I'm riding my bike in the mountains, then I probably don't have cell phone reception. But if I have my maps offline, then it still allows you to provide a great user experience to your users. The maps control has really taken a big step forward this time around, and I encourage you to go look at that. And Nokia actually just put a whole bunch of information on their website yesterday, which we linked to from dev.windowsphone.com. To find out a whole bunch about the map control. So, you know, that kind of covers how we've made it easier for your phone, your applications to run better and to do a better job and provide you more kind of functionality. But what about integrating with the phone? If you look at the Windows Phone, one of the kind of key features which we're kind of pushing is providing an integrated experience. The fact that Facebook, you know, social networks are integrated with the first-party experiences. If you in the past you could do Search Extra, so your application could integrate with Bing, you could integrate with the Music Hub, you could integrate with the Games Hub. What we wanted to do in Windows Phone 8 is really take that integration to the next level. And one of the main areas we've been doing that is VoIP. Now, obviously most of you are not VoIP providers, but if you are a VoIP provider, or if you're an end user, providing a platform to enable VoIP to integrate so it feels just like a phone call was a major part of what we did in Windows Phone 8. So clearly, you know, we have a vested interest in this. You know, Skype was one of our number one customers on this. What we want to ensure is that everything we did for Skype was available to every third party. So all the integration points that Skype uses is available to Tango, to Viber, to you, if you happen to be a VoIP provider. So this is an important point for, you know, looking to the future of the way we're developing on Windows Phone, is enabling all the integration points to be available to you. So we integrate with the incoming call notifications, we enable video calls, we enable calls to continue going in the background. So just as you make a cell phone call today, you get that blue bar across the top, then, you know, this will be the same experience. Now, the easiest way to do this is actually show you. Now, when I say the easiest way to do this, this has been proving to be a little challenging in this room. And so I'm just going to wonder why my Windows key doesn't work anymore. Okay. Okay, so Sean just said hello, look. So there's a push notification coming from Sean, and I'm going to run Skype, I hope. Oh, and Sean's actually calling me. Now, I was running Skype, but I don't actually have to be running Skype for it to launch. Now, I'll be honest with you, this was not working very well this morning, so we're going to... And Sean sat over here. It's resuming. I'm going to... Well, I don't know. Did that work? I don't think it did. So I'm going to try calling Sean. Nope. So I told you that the demos would probably not work a second time in a week. So I'm going to give it a couple of seconds. So I'm just going to try and call Sean. That looks pretty dead to me. One more try. Well, imagine Skype working really good. And I recommend going to watch the video of me earlier this week where it worked just fine. I think there's a problem with some of our Wi-Fi. The Wi-Fi is a little strange in this room. And this does not have a SIM in it. So I'm going to call off Skype, I think. Maybe we'll come back to it. So the key thing here, which you didn't see, was that it works in exactly the same way as a phone call does. And no demo of Skype. So integrating with first-party applications is great, but what about applications, your application communicating with other applications and allowing people to integrate with you or vice versa? So a couple of things we've added this time around. Custom schemes. Now, this is something, frankly, is not new. And Microsoft introduced this back in the PDC of 1996. It's so old. This is such a PDC. Steve Jobs was presented at this PDC when he was president of Next. So this is prior, in the bleak years between Apple. So it's been around for a long time. But I would say, the phone really provides probably the most interesting place to do this. So, for example, especially as you look at applications are isolated by design, so you can't communicate between applications easily. So what this allows you to do is to register a custom URI for your application. So, for example, Skype:Andrew Clinic, you can just call that from any URI, anywhere that can call a URI, be it your application, a text message, an email message. That will launch Skype and pass in my name and actually start a call automatically to me. Likewise, the Facebook, if I say FB:, and then profile, and then this is actually my profile. I don't know why that's my number, but that is my number. So that allows you to integrate with the Facebook application from your application. Now, if you look at the Facebook application, they actually have over 100 methods on their custom URI schemes. So you can really start to kind of expose significant functionality in your application, allow apps to communicate. Now, the obvious one here is, well, what happens if my application is not installed and somebody sends me a Skype:Andrew Clinic? What we do is we look at when the user taps on that, we actually, if it's not installed, we'll go query the marketplace and say, okay, what application is registered Skype:? And if the user doesn't have that installed, we'll prompt them saying, hey, do you want to go install that application? So this is actually a great way to make your application viral. So the people start to share links with your custom URI scheme, then people, whenever somebody taps on it, it's going to prompt them to install the application if they don't have it. So it actually makes it quite a bit easier for you to get your application known. But also from a user perspective, it makes it easy. They don't have to worry about how would they know Skype colon? Well, they might know Skype colon, but FB or some strange URI scheme. So we have marketplace integration to do that. And we also enable file types so that you can register your own file extension. And we will do the same thing on marketplace, where we'll actually go back and check on the marketplace. So if you register a .foo file, we'll actually go and check on the marketplace and prompt the user if they want to install that, if they got that via email or they tapped on a link on that via the browser. Now, today at 12:45, Sean McKenna from my team is actually going into quite a bit more detail on this. And to give you an idea of how somebody could mess up my slides, if I was in the Facebook app, I tap on Peter Bergman, it just does Skype Peter Bergman, and the application just shows up. The great thing about this is you tap on it, you go into Skype, you hit back, and it takes you straight back to Facebook. So it enables you to really provide a richer experience and integrate with other applications. That's great. We're integrating with the phone, but what about data? How do we ensure that you can both integrate with the databases that you want to do and also with the phone data, data that's on the phone? So data on the phone, your own data. Obviously, we introduced SQL Server in Windows Phone 7.5, and we continue to support that. We love SQL Server. So if you love Linux SQL and SQL Server, then continue using that. We'll continue to support that in Windows Phone 8. But a lot of the feedback we got is everybody wants a SQL database. SQL Server wasn't necessarily top of their list of what they wanted to go do. So if you're developing for Windows Phone, you're probably developing for iOS or Android as well. And if you're developing for iOS and Android, there's only one database of choice, and that's SQLite. So we've been working very closely with the SQLite group. Those of you who aren't familiar with SQLite, it's a public domain SQL database, clearly free to use. And we've been working with them to make sure that their SQLite database works just great on Windows Phone 8. And as of Tuesday, the SQLite database is actually available. You can go to SQLite.org and go download the Windows Phone SQLite distribution, and it's all ready to go, compiled if you want it, or source if you don't. So you can start using SQLite directly in your application. And what's even better than that is that the same SQLite that works on Windows Phone 8 is exactly the same SQLite that works on Windows 8 as well. So you can take one binary dependency if you're writing applications between the two and use the same database engine. So, we're finding performance and memory usage of that is really pretty impressive. So SQLite is a significant increase in terms of database availability for you today. So that's how you can get structured data. Now, obviously, you want to go store your structured data somewhere. There's a bug in my slides here. So we provide you with isolated storage, just as we did in the past. But we also provide SD card support on Windows Phone 8. And the way we did SD card support this time around, I would say we did it right, such that you can plug in an SD card and it doesn't get kind of amalgamated into the store on the device, so you can start sharing files between as a user. You can take your SD card out and stick it in your PC, stick it in your Surface, and it just behaves as you would expect an SD card to behave. And we provide read-only access to the SD card today. So you still have to store all your data in the isolated store, but you can also read files from the SD card, be that a photo or files that the user may have put on that, so that you can get access to the SD card. So that's kind of your application data, but what about data that's on the device? In Windows Phone 7.5, we gave you read-only access to the contacts database. And we got extremely strong feedback look, I want to be able to write to the contacts database as well. Now, you can add a contact via a task today, which enables you to add a contact, but the user has to accept that that's okay. So it's not like you can go write 100 entries into the contacts database and it'd be a reasonable user experience, because the user would have to tap accept 100 times. So in Windows Phone 8, what we enabled is read-write access to your app's own contacts. So what this enables you to do is to put a contact store inside of the contact. So it integrates with the People Hub, and I'll show you this in a second. But it's specific to your application. And the reason we did, there's a couple of reasons we wanted to do this. One was to ensure that we didn't get applications just spamming people's live contacts or their Outlook contacts. I think a lot of, there's been a lot of press about applications having access to contacts and people didn't know. So we also ensure that there's the correct permissions so that a user, so you can't just, applications can't just go start stealing information from a user. But we also wanted to ensure is like, well, if you started writing your contact stuff into the contacts database, what happens if a user uninstalls the application? Do we have to go through then at uninstall time and try and find the contacts that you wrote? So what we've done is we created you a store with inside the contacts database itself so that you go create it for your application and it gets you see it's from your application. I'll show you this in a sec. And you can use all the linking information that you would expect it to do. So let's just take a look. So here's my people list. And we can see, so Adam Denning is one of my colleagues, so he's up here. But I also have Adam Denning down here. So let's take a look at Adam Denning here. And this is actually coming from Skype. So if you notice, your application gets attributed at the top. So this is a Skype contact. But I can use the standard linking, as a user would expect, and I can link it automatically with Adam. So that now I get all the information from Skype. I get it, this at the top, Hotmail, Microsoft, Facebook, and Skype. Now, this could be your application. And the great thing is when you uninstall the application, we just delete that store. So one of the goals about applications is when you uninstall, essentially, we don't leave anything lying around for the user. It makes it for a clean uninstall process. So you get the benefit of being able to add and write your own contacts information with the isolation from the first party experience and ensuring that users get a good experience if you're not there. It's pretty simple to do. So you can you just create a new contact store as you see here and you just go and set the description given name. There's clearly a schema for the contacts database. And then you just save async and off you go. So you get full programmatic control on the contacts. Now, we also provide read access to the calendar, and we didn't provide a separate store for the calendar, so you can still add a calendar item, but that is via a launcher, so that the user has to accept that they want to add that to the calendar. Now, our primary reason for this is that we prioritize that there's more requirements for people adding contacts than there was on calendar. It's really a question of time. That's something which we'll think about for the future. Now, that's great for building good applications, but when you really think about Windows Phone, it's what do you see Joe Belfiore talking about? And what do you see a lot of our marketing around? Is what's unique about Windows Phone is live applications. Now, clearly live tiles are a major part of this. And in Windows Phone 8, we really took a lot of the feedback as like live tiles are kind of good, but we don't really provide all the same functionality as our first party tiles did. And please, could we make that available? This time around, I'd say we did a pretty good job of that and provide you with nearly everything we provide to our first party applications. So you can flip, you can have this iconic look you can see on the second row here, or you can cycle through images. And in Windows Phone 8, you have these three tile sizes, small, medium, and large. So the wide tile, I'm sure that Thomas will. In terms of, we give you complete control over that, so you can have a much richer experience. And the goal here is to ensure that a third-party application really shouldn't look any different from a first-party application. We've had live tiles clearly in the past, so what makes a live application? And to me, the big difference really this time around is the integration with the lock screen. The lock screen in 7.5 is the calendar could write here down to the bottom, where it says lorem ipsum, so you can actually provide information. You could, but there's no way third parties could do that. the actual background, but also the notification count along the bottom. And this time around, we're allowing you to take control of that and provide your users with the ability to do that. So again, only one application can control the background of the lock screen. We didn't want applications fighting over it, and that's not going to be a great user experience. But you register your application that I want to be able to set a lock screen, and then the user gets to choose which application they want to set for the lock screen. And if you notice on the along the bottom of here, we have five slots where application notification areas can show up. Now, again, the best way to show you this is to actually give you a quick demo. So if you notice here, this is my lock screen, and this is my kids, my son being a fireman, I think. So what I've done, this is actually the Facebook application. And the Facebook I've chosen the Facebook application to set my background on the home screen. But if you notice also, I've selected, my phone is very keen to shut itself down, Skype. So I have Skype down here as the, where's my mouse? So you can see Skype has two messages available to it. But you know, if I really like CNN, so I have CNN here as my wide tile, and you can see clearly still talking about Sandy. But if I just go to settings, and then on my lock screen, then in my background I could choose the Bing photo, or in this case I'm going to take the CNN application. For the show details status, well, maybe messaging is more important to me than calendar. I work at Microsoft, so calendar is probably more important to me. But I can go set it to Facebook, and then you notice I also have Facebook here and Skype set up for my quick status. But you know, I really don't care about my Hotmail messages that much. But I care about games messages. I'm more of a gamer, so I can go in and set these things, and then I can go back to my lock screen, and hopefully now it'll be. Well, CNN hasn't actually got a photo yet, but the latest photo, you get the picture in terms of CNN, you're being able to do that. Now, the great thing here is that it's super simple for you to be able to do, and it enables you to be for example, if you're like ESPN or, as a user, it's great. I get to see the information that I want. What's the screen that I see all the time is that I always see the lock screen. So it gives you a whole new way to be able to update your information on your phone. So you activate it by the control panel, I said. I can update the wallpaper when the app is running. I can use a background agent. Background agents run every half an hour. But there are also new shell APIs, so I can set the wallpaper using a new image. I can set it to schedule an update, so it can go do that. Or I can get it to cycle through a whole set of images in my isolated store. So, like, for example, I might want to just like have my pictures that are actually on my phone showing up automatically for me. So it gives you a considerable amount of freedom and flexibility to provide essentially a second user interface to your application that's more immediate. So this glance and go is a big part of Windows Phone. Now, Thomas did a session on this yesterday, which is, what was the number of your sessions? There's a session on tiles and wallpaper, which is available on demand now. So if you haven't seen that already, so that kind of covers all the kind of major areas we've make it more richer for you to do, make your applications run faster, provide richer information. One of the key piece of the feedback we got was like, hey, Windows Phone was great, but you're Microsoft and you don't have an enterprise story. What the heck? That doesn't make any sense. So we spent a lot of time in Windows Phone 8 is really trying to establish an enterprise story on Windows Phone. And there's kind of two main areas for that. The first one is device management. Quite often now, most of us buy our own phones, but we want to be able to go use applications on from our corporation, which is great. Tends to send IT managers a little scared. It's like, okay, well, look, I have to think about information security. I have to think about how do I make sure that my applications are kept up to date? How do I ensure that the right corporate policy is enabled? So we enabled you to enroll the device with a management server, be that Intune. There is also third-party management servers out there. And what that will allow you to do is set policy and make sure that your phone is up to date. So, for example, you might want to ensure that, you know, there's a PIN requirement, or that, you know, one of the great things we added in Windows Phone 8 is BitLocker. So that if you're going to store information about your corporation, then they want to make sure that the phone is encrypted. So they can, that you can set that policy. Or maybe you don't even want the camera to show up if you're super secure. So we enable system admins to manage your phone, which is clearly a big part of that. But then the other one is like, well, application deployment. If I'm writing an application for my corporation, I probably don't want that to go on Marketplace. So we've introduced the ability to create essentially your own app store. So we have app deployment now, which is available on... So you can deploy applications from, be that email, from a web server, however you want it to be. And you can deploy making the technology which makes sense for your company. And all you have to do is that you sign up as a standard developer for $99, and then you go get an enterprise deployment token and certificate from Symantec for, I think it's about $300 right now. And once you get that, then you sign your applications. Because what we don't want to do is make this kind of free-for-all so that applications are coming from everywhere. So you sign your application, and if your user's phone is enrolled with your corporation, then applications signed with your certificate will be able to be installed on your phone. Now, there's a session at 2:30 that goes into quite a bit more detail on this. But what we wanted to be able to do was... Oh, my company hub slide went away. John, do you have your company hub on your phone? Because it's disappeared off my phone. You think about Windows Phone, about how it works, is that we really want to ensure that the user experience makes it really kind of integrates with the phone experience itself. And so what we built is this notion of the company hub. Now, you've seen something similar to this already in terms of when you install a game, it goes into the games hub and provides you with an experience that... that really fits with the way the phone works. So this is one which, you know, this is Microsoft, so it has to be named by Contoso. So this is the company hub for Contoso. So here's all the applications that are available. Now, this one we actually wrote to provide early releases to some of the press so that they can see some of the applications. And they're clearly, you know, CamWow is probably not a corporate application, right? So Cut the Rope, clearly not. So here's the applications that are available to me. But I pan over here, and it actually also shows me the applications that are installed. These would be my company applications. But because it's just an application, so this company hub is just a Windows Phone app. So in this case, we have Contoso News, and here's a letter from Joe Belfiore telling the press it's going to be great. But, you know, we have an alert center saying, hey, Office 2013, you should be here, your password's going to expire. But then also my profile. So in Microsoft, you can actually set your profile picture so that whenever you send an email to somebody, you actually get to see what they look like. I have no idea how to change my profile picture. I'm sure there's some website and I can go take a photo and go and upload it. But my photo at Microsoft is the photo of me when I joined 18 years ago, which is pretty depressing because I look quite a bit younger and nobody understands what I look like. But, you know, on a phone, I've got this front-facing camera, so I should just be able to tap on that photo, take a photo of myself, and magically the company hub does whatever the IT has to do to update itself. So think of the company hub as kind of a really, it's like a portal on your phone that you get to you get complete control over. So that you can enable application installation, and we have APIs now, so that you can actually go query what applications are installed from your particular corporation. And in this case, we're just making a web service request to Azure, and we go get these applications from a website. So it provides you with a much richer mechanism to be able to show to make your users a lot easier to use applications on the Windows Phone. Now, you're probably thinking, it's like, well, enterprise is great, but hey, you know, I'm just a developer and I'm developing consumer applications. I don't need enterprise. I think really enterprise, one of the key things about enterprise is it really matters to everybody. if you're doing development and you have more than two people, then having the developer unlock your phones to go test daily builds or make sure that, you know, if, even if you have like beta tests inside your company, is frankly a royal pain. So think about this from an enterprise perspective. If you sign up as an enterprise developer, you can now start doing daily builds of your application, and just all you have to do is get your testers or beta testers just to enroll with that certificate, and you can email them, they can go to a share, they can go to a website, they go to a company hub, and get those daily builds. So it provides you with a much richer mechanism of being able to update it. So, like, if you want to update a daily build, all you have to do is just copy that zap up to your file share. You don't have to go through the ingestion mechanism that we have to do, that you would have to do for beta testing. Now, clearly, if you're going to beta test with real users out there, you want to track what they're doing, and you want to use the marketplace beta testing mechanism. But if you want for a smaller, more controlled deployment, and you need to update much more quickly than maybe once a week, then using the enterprise mechanism allows you to do that. And there's certainly something which we're using internally a lot to ensure that we can, when phone groups that are building Windows Phone applications are using the enterprise mechanism to deploy daily builds and get their testers to be able to deal with that. So in summary, you know, the Windows Phone 8 application model and infrastructure really provides you with significant improvements to make your application faster. Fast application resume is the most important thing I want you to take away from this, is we want every single application to support fast application resume. It's very, very simple to do, almost no coding for you to enable it. Multitasking improvements enable key new scenarios in terms of location and VoIP. And live tiles and lock screen provide you with a significant new way to expose your application and make it a lot more approachable for users. And then finally, enterprise deployment enables a whole new scenario. If you care about enterprise development in terms of being able to deploy to companies, and significant, clearly from, you know, enterprise is clearly a significant part of Microsoft, but also provides everybody with more flexible deployment mechanisms so that you can build your applications better. So that's the end of my presentation. I think we have some time for questions. Thanks for coming. I know it was really early. If we have questions, I think there are, I don't know if there are microphones, but shout it out and I'll repeat it. So.
Two questions. Is there anything built into the phone that would help with a two-factor authentication for an enterprise to do like a hardware factor versus a...
So the question was, is there anything built into the phone that will allow you to do two-factor authentication? My understanding, no. I'm not the authentication guy. I mean, I think you're talking kind of smart card or having some kind of...
Well, if something identifies if the phone is really the hardware piece, it's not coming from someplace else, it's really coming from... So if I have a back-end service that I need to know is coming from the phone, is one of the factors, and another factor would be like a password.
Well, you could get the device ID, right? The device ID, you can get the device ID, which is a unique ID for every single phone. Okay. So you could... You can match from that perspective, or are you thinking kind of client-side certs or that type of stuff?
Because I think even that ID, if that's passed in, like someone else could spoof that. I mean, they could get the ID from a different phone and pass it into my servers, and I would think it was them, but it's not.
Right.
So I need to know some way that's really coming from the phone.
Yeah. That's a great question for the 230 enterprise talk.
The second question I had about is the deep linking. How can I get a list of what URLs are available already, and how do I register my own URL?
So the second question was like, how do I get a list of essentially the methods and the URLs that are available today?
Well, like, I want ones for the mapping. So if I have a link to mapping, I want to launch the mapping app and show an address in there. So how do I?
Right. So how do you get? You know, essentially, it's like, okay, so is there a central place to go find everything that's available on the phone, and then how do I register mine with that? Now there isn't a central place from Microsoft, but there's actually, and I'll put it in the comments of this session. There's a wiki page that somebody, I'm not sure who it is, but it actually started from iOS, and he has, and you know, everybody can add their own stuff to it, so it's a pretty good one. But that essentially is the kind of the central repository for all the custom schemes that are available.
So how do I register my own?
Then you just go to the wiki and just, so in an application, if you want to register it yourself, then you just add it to the manifest, and when it goes into the marketplace, it automatically does that for you. And then you can go edit this wiki. But it's something actually we should do a better job of making that
available.
Yep. So what happens if two apps go for the same name? So if that happens, we do provide UI to the user saying, okay, like this, which application do you want to use to do that? And what we found since, you know, essentially since 1996, is that it theoretically it should happen. It almost never does. And it's kind of, the analogy I use is like, Wikipedia shouldn't work. I mean, if somebody came along to you and said, well, you know, like the basic premise of Wikipedia should never work. It should be a disaster. But essentially the marketplace kind of controls itself. Now, if your URI is your trademark, like for example, Skype, then you can ask, if somebody registers Skype, then you can ask the marketplace to take that down because we care about trademarks. So it's self-regulating for the most part, and even when there are multiple applications to support it, the user gets to choose which one they want to go use. Any other questions? I think right at the back here. Yeah.
You mentioned the SD card read only. So if an application has access to the SD card, the assumption should be that it has access to everything on the SD card. And is that part of the reason for not storing stuff?
Right. Good question. So the question was: is SD cards read only, and on the SD card, is there any kind of isolation? And is that the reason why we did it? On the SD card itself, so isolated store, we guarantee that that's isolated to your particular application. The other applications can see that. On the SD card, essentially, is the Wild Wild West. It's just there is no isolation on the SD card. Because frankly, even if we isolated applications on the phone, there would be nothing to stop you taking it out and being able to stick it in a PC, and people could get another phone, different type of phone. So that is one of the primary reasons why we're not putting it on there, because we wanted to ensure that people were very, very aware of what it can do and what it can't do. Now, obviously, we would like to do read-write, and we didn't do read-write, and it's something which we should be working on for the future. Does that make sense?
Yeah, thank you.
Any other questions? Ah, so it's a good question. So if I add my contact store and I link it between the two, will I be able to launch my application from the contact card? And in this release, you won't be able to do that. We don't enable launching from the contact card. It's something, frankly, just didn't make the cut. So the question is, could I use the Company Hub to publish betas to my client? And I would say mostly yes, as long as they were if you have a business relationship with them, then yes. So the Company Hub, and clearly, I'm sure some of you are thinking, it was like, hold on, there's alternative app distribution models here. Is that, you know, could I create an alternative marketplace? And our policy says, no, you can't create an alternative marketplace. But if you look at our policy, it says, like, you know, employees of your company, and we're changing that to say, like, employees or customers of your company, so that you can do exactly that scenario.
Because I envision a really pretty, if I use, like, the cloud services which I use today for TFS preview, or to actually build all the application for Windows Phone as well,
yeah,
I can also publish that to one repository or the
yeah. Right. Yeah.
Really nice.
Right. So this is exactly why we're changing the policy to enable that. So, but you won't be able to. Not saying that Amazon would want to build a store on our phone, but it does. You won't be able to use our enterprise mechanism to build a competing store. And in that case, that's not a competing store, right?
So you said the enterprise hub was just simply an application.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great question. Is there any limit to the number of enterprise hubs that can be on the phone? And there are no limits. So the way that enterprise works is that we have, if you, And I was talking about system management and be able to roll it with the system management server. You can only be enrolled with one system management server. And the primary reason for that is we didn't want policies overlapping. What if one said you needed like an 8-digit PIN, the other one said a 4-digit PIN? Which one wins? So you can only set policy from and system management from one server. But you can enroll in multiple enterprises. So, but those other enterprises, you can't set policy. But you can enroll there. So you can have as many company hubs as you want. So you can be enrolled as many. Well, I'm sure there's actually a limit. You should ask Cliff at 2:30. I think there's probably
more than one.
Less than 1,000, I would say. Yes. So yeah, you can. So and the primary scenario for that is like, for example, if you're a contractor working at Microsoft, is that you want the Microsoft company IT, and that's probably system center managed. But say you work for Vault, they might also have company. And we realize that it's not just a single usage model on that.
So, can you describe what you mean by enroll? Is that different than install the app?
I can. Let me try and show you. When you enroll, the question was, what's the difference between enrolling and installing the application? So, thank you. So enrolling is when I'm enrolling with the system management server. What I go down here is I say, okay, in settings, there's a company apps, and I have to go do add an account. Now I'm not going to do it right now, but this is where you would sign in. So I don't know. Maybe I can. This might work. Hold on, let me see. Because IT just rolled it out in Microsoft. So this is living on the edge because I don't know if this is actually going to work. So. I don't care. It's not really my password. So. This is a fake one. And maybe it will work. Sean is determined to say hello. And so, well... it's not going to work, but it would come up. So basically, much like you do in Exchange today, where you type in your email address and it goes off and finds the Exchange server for you. This would go and find the system management server, and when it does that enrollment, it will set all the policy. But also, when you do a system center or a system management system, it will install a company hub automatically for you. No, it's not, and this is where it's a subtle difference. So, by doing the enroll, it does the automatic install for you. If you wanted to add a second company account, then you have to get the token and then the ZAP for the company hub. You could send that via email. You could put it on a web page. You have to. It's not as automatic. You have to go do that. It's pretty simple to do, but you just tap on the token, and then you tap on the ZAP, and it will automatically install for you. Right. Yeah. VeriSign is owned by Symantec now. It's VeriSign, really. But that's does that make sense? And they'll go into more detail on this, and Sean's going to show how to build a company hub this afternoon. That one you just saw.
So.
It would be a good idea to have more than one. we just finished, so we're working on plans for vNext right now. But yeah, and clearly, it would be a good idea to be able to have more than one. Right? Okay, if there's no more questions, thanks for coming. I appreciate it. Thanks a lot. Bye.